Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to be talking about the afterlife. We're going to talk about the departed and what happens when they come back. It's amazing. And we have an amazing story to tell and a book called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. And it sounds very intriguing. And it's an incredible story. And to help us look at this story and understand who Billy was and perhaps still is in many ways, I don't even know how to describe it. So we'll have Annie talk about it. Annie Kagan, the author of The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you this afternoon, morning, midday.
Well, it's any day because with Billy, it could be any day and any time. And certainly when he was, soon after he departed, he did get in touch with you and it changed your life, didn't it?
Yes. Billy's death was quite unexpected. And several weeks after he died, 3 weeks after he died, it was sunrise. And just as I was waking up, I heard Billy calling my name from above me. He was saying, Annie, get up, it's me, it's Billy. And it was his actual voice. And of course, I think I said out loud, Billy, you're dead, you can't be here. And actually, he told me to get up and get a notebook. So now that I'm out of bed and I'm walking across the floor, I realize, wow, I'm not sleeping. And he comforted me. He let me know that he was fine and that death was wonderful. It was amazing. He was drifting through a beautiful divine universe, being attended to by higher beings, and that death wasn't really as serious as we think. And that we will definitely meet again.
Good, good. I've done a lot of shows on life after death, and it's amazing. I've even interviewed some astral travelers. So I'm very fascinated by Billy's adventures out there and how he not only, first of all, he describes them to you, but most importantly, he gives you proof that it's not you being crazy.
He does, and I definitely would not have published the book had he not given me that proof. I would have kept the experience as a very private, personal experience, but the proof was to let me know that this wasn't my imagination, that this was real, and this was information that needed to be made public.
Well, it does. It's information that really adds to the story of what goes on out there. And he was an unusual person, and I think he's had an unusual experience out there. Let's say that it's an elevated experience. I think that he has had otherworldly processes and meeting higher beings out there that not everybody who dies gets to meet and can get to these places. A lot of people go to standard fare out there, which is, you know, there's a place called Arrivals and Departures. And it looked to me like he also needed to do a lot of healing just after he died.
And yes, Peter. And I think one of the very uplifting and surprising things is that, you know, that most of his life, because of course the subtitle is How My Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me There's Life After Death, Billy had problems with addiction, and in the last years of his life, he was really overwhelmed by his addictions. And he didn't have what we would call a good life. And yet at the same time, he's gone to a very, very high transcendent level in the afterlife.
Yes, very high.
Very high. And not the kind of high he was on Earth, but a different kind of high.
No, but I think that's the reason led the life he led, is that he already was a being who came here maybe expecting to manage it, but he really was already too high, and the only way that he could manage that was to try to stay high through drugs and alcohol.
Yes, and also there comes a point towards the end, because, you know, during this whole journey, because really the whole book describes his evolutionary journey through the afterlife, which is what was really great for me, was to learn how much we change after we die. It's not like a static place. And
I love that in the book.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I love it, where actually you can let go of so much of your past. And so many of us don't realize how much we want to hang on to that. Oh, yeah, after I die, you know, because there's all these stories about, and they're true, about contacting the dead, and the dead are still out there just as real as they were here. And yet, that's only a part of them that we're contacting.
That's really only a part of them, because, like I learned, really, after you die, you can be in more places than one at a time. So, you know, your loved one can be speaking with you, but they could also be going on a journey deeper into the realms. And at a certain point, what I learned was that even though Billy lost his battle with addictions at the end of his life, that he came to Earth to have this struggle.
Sure.
And that it was the struggle that kind of helped his soul evolve in a way that we really don't understand with our minds. And I think that that's such a relief to so many people, because we're so focused on success, and we're so focused on, you know, not having struggles. And also the you know, there's this thing about, well, if you have a struggle somehow, you know, you've psychically created it, and if you only just change the way you think, it'll all go away.
So many people think we come to heaven on earth, and we don't realize that it's the opposite. We've really come to an opportunity to see the difference between heaven and earth.
I love that way to put it. That's really perfect.
And that really was true for Billy.
It was really true for Billy. And, you know, he was the bad boy and I was the good girl. And one of the main things I've learned, because I'm always waiting for everything to be perfect to have a good
Don't
time.
Don't we all?
Right? I mean, at least I used to, you know, like, I'll be happy when, and, you know, Billy taught me that, yeah, sometimes it's a perfectly beautiful summer day with the sky blue and the lemonade or whatever. But, you know, there's definitely a strong shadow element to this level, and that really Earth couldn't exist without the shadow element, that you couldn't have the sea without storms. And he's really helped me to accept the shadow element in me and in my life, and to enjoy it anyway, because that's kind of what he did. When he was alive, even though he had these problems, everybody loved Billy. He was such a lover of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an energy about him, and it continues after life with the way he communicates with you.
It does.
But also, I'm thinking of the ways that he talks about the ecstasies out there, the opportunities to experience reality in a super way that is beyond anything you can experience on Earth. And I think, just looking back on it from what you're saying, that he appreciates it out there even more because he's been here.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, he goes through, unlike an NDE where someone's going to come back, he goes much further into the realm.
Sure.
And therefore, you know, he has many different kinds of life reviews, many different kinds.
Yes.
And one of them that he calls the sacred scripture is, you learn to experience the wonder and awe of life on Earth that really goes on beneath the level of our thinking and our thinking how it should be, just like the simple joys of laughing and walking and talking, like the essence, the pure essence of being alive.
There's a visceral experience here that's very important. And he covers the ground. I mean, it's so beautiful how he describes his processes out there, meeting that his goddess even. met a goddess. He was in love.
Yeah, that was really, really very amusing. Because, you know, Billy was a very funny person. And, like, this is a book about what happens after you die, but it's so uplifting and kind of irreverent. You know, you're kind of expecting someone to speak in a different tone, like Billy's kind of street cred wisdom.
Yeah. We don't
and that
know.
That was also surprising how much he maintained his Billiness, because I think, you know, from my meditation, I thought we were just going to disappear. Peter into like a sea of bliss.
And sometimes he does.
But then he's back.
Right. Oh, you know, it's so fascinating how much he shows you and how many different experiences he has. I also want to talk about the ways that he's helped people here and how that works even. How does he know what he knows in terms of your life, the people you interact with, and how to help those people?
You mean in the book, right?
Yes.
Because
then,
I have to tell you, yeah. I get letters, I get emails every day like, oh, I'm reading the book. I feel Billy around. He's helping me.
Oh, good.
Like people, you know, people are kind of being touched by his spirit. But one of the ways that Billy proved to me that he was real was to give me what is called evidentiary after-death communications, which means he gives me information I couldn't possibly know, and it turns out to be right every time. And through these little cryptic messages, he involved my friends in the process, and when I would say things to them, they would look at me and go, "How do you know that?"
Well, you know, I am a practicing intuitive, and that happens with me every day with people, where I receive, maybe it's Billy, I receive information from out there in detail, and I tell people things that they corroborate. And go, wow, you know, it's amazing the stories after people have had sessions with me of how I couldn't have known all the things that I told them. And so I understand what you're saying.
Ah, well, so you're very tuned in, but I never had that experience before. And beyond helping people, because these people that he gave the messages to, and I don't want to give away too much because definitely the book is kind of a mystery, right? Like you don't know what's going to happen. And I don't want to, you know, spoil the story. But what amazed me over and over was, for me, the ultimate was how he described the music that he was hearing in his world. And he's talking about this beautiful chorus of voices, and he's giving me lyrics and what they're saying. And then he goes, like Mahler's eighth. Now, I didn't even know there was a Mahler's eighth. And when I played it, it was exactly as he was describing. And the words were the same. It was so miraculous that was the moment when I think all my doubts went away, because there was no way it could be coincidence.
Well,
anymore.
Also describe what Mahler's Eighth is about. I mean, it's not just a piece
right.
of music.
Yes, Billy's meeting his goddess, and he's hearing a chorus of voices, not no music, just a chorus. He's describing this chorus of beautiful voices singing, you know, about returning home. And then I look up Mahler's Eighth after he told me, and it's a chorus of voices describing the eternal feminine. When, and at the same time, Billy is with this goddess that he's in love with, who's, you know, taking his soul higher, and that's what the actual lyrics are. And then there's another layer where he tells me, okay, now look up what this is about. I get really choked up when I talk about this, because I looked it up, and it was Mahler's Eighth, Chorus Mysticus, is about Faust, and about the fact that even though Faust struggled on earth and had this, you know, demons and the devil, and even though he lost the battle in the end, he still went to the highest place in the afterlife. The angels took him to the highest place because his struggle was actually a beautiful divine struggle.
And, right, and we have to appreciate that for everybody, every listener to the show, is that we are all in a divine struggle.
Yes, that's so important, because I think so many of us, you know, are ashamed of our struggles, and we feel less than because of our struggles. And that's another thing that Billy says is, you know what, and I love this, this is so mind-opening, that we don't really understand exactly with our human mind what we came here to do. So don't be so quick to judge your fellow man, and don't be so quick to judge yourself.
Well, look at Billy. He was probably badly judged by people for his addictions.
Terrible. And one of the really painful things at the end of his life, I remember after he died, his drug counselor saying to me, well, you know, he just didn't trust his higher power. I'm like, are you kidding? That was pretty much what was left for him. So, yeah, I think we have to be kind to each other. I think his philosophy is a very kind one. Would you agree, Peter?
It's amazing to see what this all means about life and how he is constructing it for you and all of us to show us what really matters. And he was a guy who was so troubled and made many bad choices in terms of,
yes,
how he treated himself. Even though people loved him for his personality, he was very disappointing. And yet, that's what he came here for. He came here to have this struggle, to make these bad choices, so it would enhance his wisdom and create more light for himself. And once he was out there, he certainly went through a process where the cleansing was amazing.
Cleansing was amazing, and it's funny because Billy's favorite thing was always helping people. Like, he used to run drug centers for teenagers. He worked in the court system when he was alive, when he was, you know, during the times he was well, having people go to drug programs instead of jail. And he loved to help people. And I feel like, you know, part of his struggles on earth, or was it so he could come back now and write this book and help so many of us who have different difficult things? Like, I just want to give you an example that I find really beautiful that someone wrote to me who has, she's quite ill. I believe it was rheumatoid arthritis. And she said, like, the book liberated her entire life, because she felt so guilty that somehow she must have done something wrong to have this, and she understood it in a very different, deeper way.
Right. When you help people understand that this is what they're here for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes.
Right. And then it gets better after this life is over.
It does. What does he say? That all your ups and downs, all your struggles and your good times, they all become this beautiful musical symphony that you didn't even realize you were composing.
Right, because it has such heart to it.
It has such heart, and really we are instruments of the divine, and we're just exploring this world, and we're doing things that we signed up to do before we were born. And it may not always look pretty from the outside. And I know and then this, to me, this is like the icing on the cake. Is that he says, you know, you're here to do all kinds of things. Don't judge yourself. You're here to have this experience and that experience. And then in his very truthful Billy way, he says, but that doesn't mean you're not supposed to prefer pleasure over pain, because that's part of the plan. He's not, you know, he's not saying, oh, you're struggling, so it's a gift, it's so wonderful. He's saying, of course, it may not be comfortable, and why wouldn't you prefer to feel good?
Sure.
That's just human.
We wake up every day and say, how can I make this better?
That's right. And because that's what makes us feel good. We're supposed to want to feel good.
Sure.
So, you know, he's very wise.
Well, it's so beautiful. But I'm also fascinated by the direct experience you had with him to the point where you could actually see him.
Yes. At first, I only heard him, but I didn't hear him inside my head. I heard him outside my head and always coming from the right. And then he goes through changes, like he goes through this wonderful phase where, like you said, he blends into the cosmic energy. He lets go of himself. He becomes everything. And then he reconstitutes. And when he reconstitutes, he gets a light body, a body made out of light. And when he gets the light body, I start to be able to see him on occasion. And it was really, really funny because when I started to be able to see him, you know, he started fooling around with me. And one time he was doing this little act because I was very serious, like, no, I don't want to write this book. I don't want people to know I'm talking to my dead brother. This is so serious. And then, you know, he appears to me as this angel with like a crooked halo on and bad boy wings, you know, making faces to me. So he's like, you know, one of his main messages is, you know, it's not all that serious. Lighten up a little bit. You'll enjoy life more.
Good. Well, it sounds like a great guy to know. When we go out there, we'll look for him. Although he might, who knows where he'll be out there.
Well, I think he's hanging around Earth a lot now, like, you know, being there for people.
That's great.
Especially when they're reading it. I mean, it's so wild sometimes. You know, I really want to talk about my Facebook page, because in a few months we have like 42,000 people telling their stories.
Wow.
Because really, people have a lot of experiences.
Right.
They want to speak about, you know,
right.
And a lot of times it's like, hello, Billy. Oh, and hello to you too, Annie.
Yeah, I know. It's that way with me and my intuition. People just don't care much about Peter Roth. They just want to talk with the spirits that talk through me.
Ah, the stars of the show.
Yeah, right. So, what an opportunity this book is, and I'm glad that you're getting so many people on your Facebook page. I'm going to go there right after the show.
And, yeah, not the Annie Kagan page, the Afterlife of Billy Fingers.
Oh,
it has
okay.
like a lot of his wisdom with pictures and
oh,
people
good.
Talking about their stuff. It's a great page.
Oh, good. And do you still talk with him?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I still speak with him, and he's, he's very much around.
Okay, because in the book, it seemed like he was moving on.
Yeah, he moved on, and, you know, I think that that's a lesson in itself. Like, we move on, we evolve. Like, we're always forming, and then not forming and forming. You know, there are so many births and deaths and voyages out and voyages in. So, It's all transformational.
And this is so important for everybody to understand that we don't have to hold on so dearly, although we certainly don't want to let go of all the things we love here. And
that's the interesting thing about the afterlife, is that as you move forward, because everything is benign there, there's like no desire to hold on to anything.
Right, but here there is, and a lot of it is good.
It is good. It's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, I have my family. I don't want to leave them. I'm getting older, and I'm happy to know that after this life, I'll be even happier in many ways, but also I feel sad that I would leave my family behind.
Yes, that is the sad part, but also I still have Billy, so, you know, the love never goes away. It really doesn't.
Right. And it's good for people to understand, all the people living to understand that those who have departed are still around. We just can't connect with them so easily. They can connect with us easier than we can connect with them.
They're still around, and they come back, and Billy came back, and he speaks for, you know, everyone, to let everyone know that their loved ones really are okay, and that, yes, of course, they're going to grieve, but go on with your life. Like, honor your loved one by having a good life,
right,
because your loved one is really okay.
And the real struggle is for the people who get left behind.
It is. But there's a lot of relief. Like, if Billy can be okay, that means everybody is okay.
Right. And it's just that we miss people in this life. My family have moved on. I really feel a loss of them, and it's really painful to me that they're not here to celebrate life the way those of us still living are.
It is, and even though I have Billy, you know, I could never give him a hug. I miss the rest of my family. But at the same time, you know, I do make an effort to connect with the love, and to feel my love for them, and actually through my love for them, I'm able to feel the love back.
Good, good. And I think this is an inspirational book. The Afterlife of Billy Fingers is a book that I think has got a lot of legs to it. I can imagine that you're going to really have fun with this as you continue to promote it and get around. And do you do personal appearances too?
No, I have a couple of, I've done some things that are available on the internet, but the book is out. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and bookstores, but the Facebook page, yeah, that's where you really get a nice taste, and oh, you could download a free chapter there as well.
Oh, great. Annie Kagan, it's been so much fun talking with you.
Oh, you too, Peter. I really, really having a good time with you.
Oh, good. Thanks. And thanks for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thanks for having me.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.